Hello and welcome to the Pocket PC Geeks Podcast, the PPCGP. I am your host, Leos101 from PPCGeeks.com. Tonight with us we have two guests. We hope to have some more come on later today. We have some interesting topics. For example, turns out that AT&T Verizon lawsuit is dead. It's gone forever. Anyway, I also have an interesting note to bring up. We now have an affiliate with us. I would like to welcome HostGator to be nice enough to be offering an affiliate program with us, but we'll get into that a little bit later tonight. First off, I want to welcome, for the first time on the show, I'm surprised he hasn't gotten here sooner, Big Diesel.
Hello, everybody.
The one and only Supermod from PPCGeeks.com. He has a bit of an audio issue because he's on Skype Mobile, but we were more than happy to have him on the show. We're glad he can make it because in the last few weeks he's been like having a lot of bad luck on getting on the show. With us we have also one of our newsies, Cornelius 2.
Hello, hello.
And that's the two people I got with me tonight. We hope to have some more come by later. We hope to get the chat involved tonight. All kinds of fun things and topics to discuss, but of course, first things first. AT&T quietly ditches Verizon ad lawsuit, says PC World. According to Jared Newman, it says basically, after a series of a lawsuit coming out, a whole long series of ad campaigns featuring a couple of interesting fellows, it's over. It's gone. Court in Atlanta, Georgia ruled in favor of Verizon, and then now, about a week later, it's over. AT&T is quietly dismantling the lawsuit. What are your thoughts, guys?
Well, it's really hard to try to make a serious case when you... You need to mute your mic for a second, Big. It's really hard to make a case when your competitor pulled the map right off of your website. And even while doing the lawsuit, you still have that website. If you remember 2 weeks back, we talked about the fact that I was able to pull up AT&T's 3G map website again, and it still was exactly how Verizon was displaying it.
Yeah, when was that? 2 weeks ago? Or was it? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. We go out, we say, well, you know, is this true? Is this really the 3G map? Pull it up, and of course the 3G map is just that. And now recently they pulled out several ad campaigns featuring an interesting guy. The name of his is slipping me right now. He's supposed to be an actor.
Luke Wilson.
Luke Wilson. I never heard of him, but he's an actor.
Owen's little brother.
Who?
Owen Wilson's little brother.
I don't know who Owen Wilson is either. I'm just not with the times, I suppose.
Guess not.
Yeah. So, he's sitting there on a map that's orange, the key color of AT&T. He's like, you know, I want to talk to you about AT&T's coverage using postcards, because that's the easy way to relate to people. Here's a postcard here, postcard here. The ad cuts out, another ad comes in, it's a commercial suite, because that's how American TV works. Comes back, the actual advertisement continues after another ad. It was kind of funny how they bring in a continuation, forklifts bringing in more postcards. I guess they're trying to show that you can go many places with AT&T, except the Bay Area. I wouldn't know personally, I just heard, you know, about half the entire people I know talk about the Bay Area being a horrible area for reception with AT&T. And in all honesty, it was just another childish game of who's on first, what's on second. I mean, at the same time, in Canada, TELUS and Rutgers were complaining over who's the best in 3G or home service or coverage. And as you can see, it's just another game of cat versus mouse, I suppose. It's just a real joke. Any other thoughts about this? Obviously, this is dead now. This is the end. I'll never discuss this again on the show.
Big D?
Personally, I thought the AT&T ad, the one where they fade out on the first part and then fade back in, was a genius idea, as long as the people knew what the second part of the ad was about. However, I do see that AT&T did not win at all. And written in the hearts and the minds and the soul of the American people. Verizon definitely hit the nail dead on with their ad campaign. The map, very easy to read, very, very simple to understand, while the postcard drawing by Owen Wilson was not as easy to understand. And the whole complaint about how the iPhone a royalty phone, any GSM phone for that matter, can simultaneously do data and voice calling at the same time, and making fun of Sprint or Verizon or any CDMA carrier that their phones could not do that was, while entertaining for me, was kind of humiliating, because AT&T must not realize that there is a revision out that allows CDMA devices to simultaneously do data and voice at the same time. And for AT&T just to blatantly say, oh, your technology cannot do that.
Well, let me ask you this. Is that revision out? Is it being used? Can MyTouch Pro 2 use data and, you know, call on the same time?
Right now, it cannot, but hopefully sometime next year, it will be able to.
No, I would say next year. I'd say within 3 months, easily. You know what? Droid just came out. This new revision for CDMA, if it can come on without changing the radio altogether and putting it on old phones, then they'll push it out, like, you know, out the door immediately, compete with the AT&T ads. But, you know, I wouldn't say it's that bad of an ad. I mean, it's just taking a weak spot and hitting it. That's what Verizon did in the first place. It's been notoriously known that AT&T has terrible coverage compared to, you know, Sprint and Verizon, and their roaming isn't that much better. And then when you play it in together with the fact that they're still on the GSM end and everyone's starting to climb up the CDMA ladder, I suppose is the best term, compared to other nations which are still sticking to the GSM in Europe. I don't know. I just think it's like an eye for an eye. You know, you try to attack me and I'll attack you. I guess it's the best definition of what I can think of what they were doing.
Yeah, but honestly, Verizon won that attack. They perfectly keyed into AT&T's one strength point, the iPhone. You know, there's an app for that. There's an app for that. Well, Verizon's like, you know what? Who cares if you have your apps if you can't use it because you don't got the coverage to have enough bandwidth to actually do anything.
That's a very true point. And I want to note that this is not the first time that coverage has been brought into it. This is the first time that the coverage has been directly attacked upon AT&T, but there's been BlackBerry ads before that discuss how coverage in Verizon is better than the other guy. Doesn't name the other guy. This is the first time when they actually pointed the finger specifically at AT&T, and I'll note the iPhone because of the map ad, you know, I guess the term would be rhyme or innuendo to the name, or the term of there's an app for that. And it's obviously makes sense how iPhone and Apple took this as a direct attack and then, you know, sent their own ad campaign in conjunction with AT&T. But in the end, it's not like this is old news. I mean, it's not like they said out of the blue, hey, AT&T sucks, come to Verizon, we've got more people and we've got more coverage. No, it's a given fact. It's statistically proven that AT&T has not the better coverage and not as many customers. It's like, for example, saying that America is the poorest nation in the world when it's, for a given fact, that has nothing like that in GDP standards. It's just like taking statistics and throwing them out the window.
Very true. That was a bad analogy.
Take the AT&T argument and say, well, we use wood as currency, so we have more wood, so we're richer.
I guess I can say that in Canada, you know, with all those trees and forests. No offense, like, I love the Canadians. In fact, unfortunately, Juggalo X cannot join us tonight, and I don't think Mike will be joining us either, but they're, like, my favorite Canadians, because, of course, I use the Mighty ROM. Anyway, any final thoughts for tonight?
I think that pretty much covers the dead horse completely.
All right, let's turn it into horse glue. Moving on, the Expo by LG. Is it going to be another Versa, or is it going to be the next phone with a built-in projector? How about that? Ever been walking around at a party and be like, hey guys, check out my phone. It's awesome, right? Hey, what are you doing on the phone? I don't know. Why don't you take a look? Pointing at the wall, 40-inch projector. How about that? Yeah, there's no better way to get your phone stolen.
Yeah, personally, I think it's neat. It's a very cool, like, little gadget, but you need to be able to get a little bit higher quality projector from what I read. They said it was readable, but they need to get it to the point where it's actually functional in, like, a business meeting and then that would be like the killer device.
It's a Pico X. The Pico X is a very good, versatile mini projector. It's the best you're going to get for mini, is the best that I can actually explain. I mean, remember, we're talking about a phone here that has a built-in projector. It's probably the same projector that's on that new Nikon Coolpix. I'll be honest, in short terms, it's tits and ass. Because, for example, I'm going to bring back the LG's Achilles heel, the touchscreen. They have awful touchscreen response. I once had a friend with the LG, is it the LG Insight? I called it the Versa earlier. I think it's the LG Insight, right? Their Windows Mobile 6.1 phone from about 2 years ago or a year ago.
Yeah, the one nobody heard of.
Yeah, I'm actually going to type it in. The LG Insight is it. Yes, the LG Insight, tiny screen, awful touch response. You have to stab the phone just to get a touch response. It really, I had a friend with it. I couldn't believe he made it, like, he still uses the phone. I thought he'd throw it out. It's just garbage. I'm being told, I read reviews and it says basically it's not much better. I mean, it's better, but it's not great. Now it has a built-in QWERTY keyboard. You see, all these phones have QWERTY keyboards because I have to admit it, the Touch Pro really pushed them out the door with the QWERTY keyboards. Even if you look at the phone, the keyboard design is quite similar to that of the Touch Pro. And now they've noticed that unless you're going to get like a capacitive screen like the iPhone, forget about it. You're going to need a Touch Pro style keyboard. So how about it, you know? We'll get one of those, you know? We'll have a party, and we'll show off the projector, and 5 minutes later, when I put the phone down, someone's going to pick it up and make a phone call, and you'll see the projector on the screen and who they're talking to.
My biggest fear is if my device could do that, I'd be afraid of what they'd find on there. What video would pop up? What picture would pop up?
Well, I think it's like a general projector. Where you just click it and it turns on and it shows you whatever. It's like TV out, except that there's a projector instead of a TV. And how does the battery? It has to suck some battery. I mean, it's a phone and I honestly don't know the battery life. I heard it was according to reviews, they said that it didn't hurt the battery that much. But come on, it's Windows Mobile, it's 1 gigahertz, and it's got a projector. Seriously, what do? Have to plug it into the AC outlet at all times? That sounds like the only solution I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, it's neat. It's a good first step to finally put that there, but until the technology is actually there to make it, like, I think it just needs to get a couple levels better, and then it'll be awesome.
You know, it reminds me of the Power Mat. You know, that you take your phone, you plug it in like with a battery jacket for the BlackBerry and a battery jacket for the iPhone. You know, you just put it on the table, on the mat, it goes, and it basically starts charging up your device. That's proof of concept. I mean, they're talking about in 5 years, not 10, not 20, 5 years, inside your wall, inside your studying, you could put up these little brackets of sorts. And they basically could project your entire house with power radio frequencies. Every device will be powered. You don't need batteries. You don't need to put it on a mat. You just put it somewhere in the house and it's charged.
Yeah, basically that power mat would be really nice if you didn't need the battery backs. They've actually in laboratories have it working pretty well with induction technology, but it's not cheap enough without something to make it really easy on the device to charge the batteries.
You know, I've been hearing it's like 5 to 10, it's like 5 years to get about the to get the power mat built into devices at a fair enough size. Don't forget, this is a proof of concept. The idea, the proof of concept was in CES of last year. Usually you wait 5 years for this stuff to come out. It came out in a year, which is remarkable for CES standards. I mean, I'm usually used to hearing pie in the sky, and then here it comes out 5 years later, and it's already yesterday's technology.
Oh, no, this has actually been talked about for nearly 10 years ago. I mean, they haven't had pretty proof of concepts that have been CES, but what really needs to happen is that there needs to not be a special like battery back on the devices. It needs to just charge the battery directly, which is what they were working on a while back. It just takes too much energy right now to actually function.
And well, of course, that was the problem. That was actually the reason why they're having so many issues. I mean, the dongle is the only way to work it. You don't have devices built with it built in yet because nobody wants to. Remember, there's a whole army of issues that come in when you want to introduce something like a power mat. First of all, how does it get involved when you want to charge manually? What if you're not near a power mat? You just need it to charge regularly. You need a regular plug-in. How does it work? Does it work fine? Do you have to remove something? Licensing fees. I mean, Qualcomm, for example, makes you charge licensing on phones. Now you want to charge another licensing fee for the power mat edition piece? You're going to offer a charge for that? Is it going to raise the price of a device $20? It's all these issues, all these costs. It's, you know, money talks when it comes to making cheap consumer phones and people are in devices for that matter, and people are going to really want this power mat.
Exactly, which is why the power mat needs to be able to function without anything special on the device, which is possible. I've actually seen videos of it happening. It's just not there yet. It's really cool. It's neat, kind of like the Blackstone charger for the Palm Pre. It's a nifty thing, but it's just not quite there yet for mainstream.
You know what? We should make a list of it. I just recently got my daily mail of, I guess, goodies with the, how would you call it, the coolest gadgets? I don't know. I mean, I saw this one gadget here. I'm probably going to spend my Christmas or Hanukkah money on it. It's called the one, the only, you're going to love it, folks. It's the Heine heater.
The what?
The Heine heater. Come on, you put it on your toilet and you stay warm. And it disinfects.
Yeah,
I have a
more toilet seats disturb me.
I wonder here, this is the only thing I'm wondering. It's a Heine heater, but there's no hole, if you know what I mean. There's nowhere to, you know, it seems cool, but it's not practical.
Interesting. Well, although in Japan, they've already had heated toilet seats and self-cleaning and all that kind of fun stuff.
Come on. I mean, that's coming up next to my Super Mario chess set.
Well, I'll put that right next to Mario Paint.
Yep. You were saying something, Big D?
Yeah, I was just going to say I've been well blessed by the good Lord. I don't need a pay for a heater. I've been blessed with natural heating elements.
I know what he's talking about. Yes, I'm actually on that boat with you, I think.
Wow, this is going south way too quickly.
This is. You know why? It's just nobody listening. You know, we need more people on the show. Then I actually feel like I have to have a standard to keep. With less than 10 people, what standard, please?
We have what?
Right I wonder now? Where. I'm really wondering where everybody is. I'm actually sad. I'm upset. Anyway, moving on. The Swipe. Has anyone heard of this yet? It's coming out of here with the Omnia 2. Samsung Omnia 2. We'll get to that in a minute as well. But how about this? Swipe technology. Have you seen the video?
No.
I'm going to put the link in the chat for those who are wondering. It's called SWYPE, the Swipe. Basically, it's predictive text to the next level. I'll explain it in a moment while you're watching this video. I will not put it on the show, because last week we did that and we broke the show. So basically, think about it. My biggest issue is basically having to pick and peck when you're actually typing. I have to pick up the stylus, push it down, fingers get in the way, all this junk. Swipe takes that and just blows it away. Put your finger down, slide it across a picture of a QWERTY key, like the QWERTY, you know, as a standard would be on any phone, and stop on each letter. Don't lift your finger. Just keep going. Stop. Like, let's say I want to say hello. Slide to H. Stop. Slide to E. Stop. Slide to L. Stop. And so on until you get the word hello. Now, it'll then predict that you're saying hello based on where you stop. Now, in the long run, it seems like an interesting concept. I actually am impressed by the video. However, one of the big issues we've been wondering about is, will it work with our touch-resistive screens? Because remember, we don't have the capacitive goodness of the iPhone. What do you guys think?
Well, he's only using one finger in that, so I don't really see a reason why resistive screens would cause a problem.
Well, so I think the response, the quality of response with a touch-resistive screen is greater than that of a with a capacitive screen compared to a touch-resistive screen, which has less quality.
No, that's not really. You can actually get finer detail with resistive. You just need to be you just need to be a little harder with how you press. You might have to use a fingernail instead of the tip of your finger or something like that.
Well, doesn't that go back to the fact that you're just using the ability to actually use non-conductive basically non-conductive sources, where you can just basically use your fingernails, use pieces of metal, anything that's tiny enough to really, basically pinpoints where capacitive phones require either a conductive stylus or a conductive finger.
Well, yeah, but there's nothing about the swipe that actually requires resistive or capacitive. It's tracking lines. That's all it is.
True. I mean, I'm looking at the swipe video now with the Omnia 2, and I've heard that Omnia 2 will carry this software, and I give you a week, and it'll be on the Touch Pro 2, of course, considering, you know, that's how ROMs work, I guess. But, it's basically saying, hi, this is swipe, a new way to type. Just make a reasonable effort to trace through the word, and swipe will do the rest. And by the way, word, they first typed as weird, and then double-clicked and did a dictionary change on it. Interesting video. Kind of shows a proof of concept where predictive text is getting better and better, because that's one of the biggest issues with a phone without a hardware keyboard. Typing is a big issue. I still hate typing with my non-hardware keyboard.
Yeah, to be honest, I actually am starting to type more on my screen because the buttons are actually just a little bit too far apart now on the Touch Pro 2. On the Touch Pro, I could type a lot faster.
I actually like the non-aligned space, typing because it reminds me of a keyboard.
Yeah, it's more accurate, but it's slower. With the Touch Pro, I didn't have to move my fingers much. Once you got used to it, I could rock out a text quite quickly. Now I have to be careful to make sure I move my fingers far enough.
Big fingers do suck, Ustream number 399. In fact, I know my father's point is he bought the phone himself, actually. I convinced him to get a Touch Pro 2, and he hates the fact that he can hardly touch with the thing. So that's basically in a nutshell. I mean, now let's get into the Omnia 2, and then we're going to take a break, actually. The Omnia 2, rumored for December 2nd, supposed to be basically like the HD2 for basically the for Verizon, because you have the Imago, you have the Omnia 2, you have the Touch Pro 2, and now you're going to basically... That's basically it, aside from the Android phones. Has anyone actually seen the Omnia 2 yet?
No, I have not.
It's on that actual YouTube video, if you could see it. It reminds me... It doesn't look anything like the old Omnia to me.
Looks much bigger from what I've seen.
Does look bigger. It has more, hardware space compared to the old phone. It has a lot... I heard it has a larger screen. In fact, let me find my link now on the Omnia 2, and I'll tell you the statistics I've heard.
It's probably best to compare an original Touch Pro... Touch Pro 2 and the size of the screen increase.
Well, it's going to have Windows, it's WVGA, and it has AMOLED, which stands for Ultra Bright LED. It's supposed to have Swipe. Touch Wiz is a new user interface, basically to compete with Touch Flow. $199 after a 100 mil in rebate for 2 years, which is the same price as the Touch Pro 2. MySpace and Facebook. Office Mobile. And synchronization. Basically everything we have. It's a standard Windows mobile phone. 3.7 inches. That sounds a lot like what the Touch Pro 2 and Diamond 2 are at. Someone put in a link there to omnia.samsungmobile.com/omnia2. And it actually... Oh, wow. That's a great picture. That's nice what you found there. Interesting. It actually shows a flash showing, basically, of what the Omnia 2 is. You can slide your finger, see it load with a cool little Windows Mobile 6.5 loading circle. We've got a sidebar, which I'm assuming is what they were talking about with, the WizBar gadget side, where it shows a list of applications ranging from Google to YouTube to Facebook, and it's on the side of the wall. Interesting. It has the traditional Windows Mobile, banners on the top and bottom. It's got only three buttons. Actually, I'm sorry, I correct myself. It looks like it has three main sets of buttons. A call start, a call end button, which I think is a power button as well, or it could be a power button aside from it. And is that a directional pad?
It kind of looks like a directional pad, but...
It's a cube.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know, it kind of looks a lot like the Diamond 2 to me.
It does look like the Diamond 2. I mean, I'm looking at the phone right now. It's letting you basically, it's showing you exactly what the phone would look like. It looks just like what Windows Mobile would look like. You know, it has the pad-based where you can, like, scroll through icons and look at all the apps. And it's actually, you know what I think this is? You know, come to think of it, it reminds me of, if you've ever used the old, basically, I forget what they're basically called, but the Windows Mobile emulators. Basically, what they let you do is they let you emulate Windows Mobile on your computer and let you basically run applications and such from the computer rather than going on your phone. This Flash application looks a lot like that. You can actually run the applications inside the phone. And I'll be honest, I see a front and back camera. That's a unique thing for a CDMA phone.
Yeah, I do see the camera, but it could just be showing the European version.
You're right. It could be a European version. I didn't think of that, but I hope not. I mean, that'd be a nice change for once. Of course, in Verizon will probably claim that you'll just use the ability of that.
Yeah. It's actually reminding me a lot of the Palm Pre's interface.
The sliding effect, like how you can slide between those, like
the programs and stuff.
It is a bit like the WebOS app system. I want to note this, though. If you notice, it's very flowing. It's not like the square old Omnia 1, which had a very, you know, straightforward square box. I will have to note, though, if you've gone to XDA developers, if you've gone to Pocket PC Geeks, you'll read there that the Omnia is like record for having excellent quality on graphics processing and other such processing. So it's actually a quite good phone on that part. You know, the cube on the bottom, it reminds me of the Zune Cube. Does it remind anyone else of the Zune Cube?
I would agree with that statement.
Definitely.
I wonder if Windows has plans to offer the Zune app through there. Could be. Or it could just be for looks. Who knows? We're just wondering about the interesting factor of the Samsung Omnia 2. And just to remind everyone, you're listening to the Pocket PC Geeks podcast with Leos 101, Big Diesel, and Cornelius 2. Let's take a minute to talk about a nice affiliate of ours, HostGator. Anyone here actually know what HostGator is?
No, sir.
What about Cornelius? Know anything
just
about
it? Just what you told me briefly.
Well, you told me earlier, like, you heard, like, what they are. They're, like, obviously, HostGator. They obviously involve hosting, and they may involve gators.
So they raise gators above the pool?
They've got a gator. I wonder if they got a gator farm back in Texas, you know? Now, I'll be honest. In all honesty, HostGator is hosting, but it's just dirt cheap, and it's very reliable. I'll be honest. The hosting world is like a huge competition for everything. Like, people are just fighting each other over to try to get their just basically get their company heard and to basically get themselves shown out and essentially just trying to make a buck. And because it's very competitive, because it's just basically take a server, open up port 80, now you're hosting. Now there's all this software, now there's all these people, it's just so complex and it's so confusing. It's just very nice to know there's a simple, easy, reliable host out there, which is HostGator. What is it? What was that?
I think Big D might be playing an old, like, Nintendo video game right now or something.
It sounds like he just played, like, Space Invaders and he just blew up something. And he just ruined my entire plugin. Wow. You okay there, Big D? You didn't die, right? I mean, nothing happened, right? You didn't just get blown up by a Space Invader? What?
I think he might have. He's now a pod person.
I think we've lost him. Oh, dear. Okay. So basically, HostGator, let me explain this to you. It's very simple. If you need a website, if you're a developer, if you're anybody who needs hosting whatsoever, you could be running a personal site, you could be interested in running a business, you could be interested in just hosting out ROMs, maybe you just want to start up a Pocket PC-style site. Who knows? There's millions of things you could do with a website. HostGator makes it easy as pie. In fact, easier than pie, because pie you have to cook and bake and all kinds of stuff. With this, all you got to do is pay a penny. because all you got to do is get the baby plan for your first month for just a penny. All you got to do is just go to a link we're going to be posting right now in the chat for the show, and we'll be also posting it with the release of the show. And in a nutshell, all you got to do is just go to this page, sign up with HostGator, and using the coupon code HGC25, I repeat, that's HGC25, the baby plan, you can get the first month. Rather than pay $9.95 and then every month afterwards $9.95, you pay 1 cent for the first month, and then every month afterward you can pay $9.95. You could pay for a year in advance, you could pay for 2 years in advance $8.95. There's a whole interesting set of prices. Perhaps you want to then go to the hatchling plan, only $6.95 for a year, $8.95 a month. There's all these interesting choices you can make. And perhaps even that, I'll give you a second code. If you don't want to use HGC25 for just a cent on the baby plan, you can use 20% off on any of the shared hosting plans, web hosting plans. Use the coupon code SNOWMAN, S-N-O-W-M-A-N. That'll give you 20% off on any purchase. Basically, you'll just get 20% off on your credit. If you spend, let's say, $20, you get back 20% of $20, which is, what is that, $5 or something like that. Wow, my math skills just failed with
that. Try four there, Captain Math Whiz.
Oh, jeez. Good thing I'm not in, you know, advanced math or anything like that. So, basically, it's very simple. You get set up in a few minutes. Trust me, it's worth it. HostGator is an excellent hosting site.
Yeah, it's as easy as finding 20% of $20.
You think, oh, that's true. You know, if you can find 20% of $20, you can sign up for HostGator for 20% off or just a penny. And like I said, the host link is right there in our Ustream page, and we'll be releasing it with the show later today. Anyway, back to the show. Where were we? Let's see. Oh, yes. Big Diesel, are you still with us? Because I want to bring up your thing now. You know, the whole deal with, is Windows Mobile going to die? I hope he's still with us.
I think he got blown up again, because I heard something that sounded like that video from All Your Base Are Belong to Us.
True. Maybe he's just, you know, for great justice moving all Zig. Who knows? Come on, Big D. You still alive there? I don't want to talk about this without you, man. You know all the facts. It's your editorial. All right, the show must go on if he's... Okay. Hold on. We're just going to wait 1 second here. Let me just explain this to you. As we know, it's been a rough time for Windows Mobile. Basically, it's just falling apart. In short, what's happening is you have the iPhone, the Android, just taking over everything. And as you can obviously think, how is Windows Mobile going to take over? I mean, Steve Ballmer himself, as I stated in the past several times, he basically just said, Windows Mobile, yeah, we screwed up on that. Don't worry. Windows Mobile 7, we won't screw up on that. And as you just reminded me, you're on the chat here, it's BlackBerry. Don't forget about BlackBerry. BlackBerries are just as important. How could we forget BlackBerries? The RIM, who stole, I might add, what was it? What was the name of that application? Iris Browser? Yeah, they stole the Iris Browser.
Those bastards.
Yeah, I know. Language. This is a family show. But those unkind people, how could they take our Iris Browser? No, in all honesty, who cares about the Blubberries? How about the Barackberry? I still want that. Do you think they'll still sell the Barackberry?
I don't know about that. Maybe.
I want the Barackberry. And I want, every time I ringtone to be, a change we need. A change for the Pocket PC Geeks podcast. Yes, that would be my ringtone if I owned the BlackBerry. Anyway, let me explain this while we try to get, you know, Big D here all fixed up. There's been rumors lying around about the status of Windows Mobile. Is it going to survive? Because you have all this competition now. I mean, 3 years ago, Android didn't exist. iPhone didn't exist. What's going on? Windows Mobile. Don't ditch our mobile OS. It's been almost 10 years now, and I just don't want this relationship to end. Please don't give me that ultimatum. All right, Big D, can you hear us? Oh, no. He's breaking on us. He and his Skype mobile. Anyway, let me explain this again about market share. Right now,
I think AT&T 3G.
Oh, dear. Could it be AT&T's 3G? I think he has Sprint.
No, he has Sprint. I was joking about our prior.
Yeah, let's not try to diss anybody now. They wouldn't like that. Okay, he's dead now. He's not going to pick up, unfortunately. So we'll just have the show must go on.
Mm-hmm.
So let's discuss Windows Mobile. Windows Mobile, 6.5 failure, 6.1 failure, 6, 5, nice, 203, good, 202, amazing, 2000, the original, forget about it, revolutionary. It killed the, let me remind you people, Windows Mobile killed Palm. Palm is dead now. They're using their WebOS. If it wasn't for WebOS, they'd be bankrupt right now. I mean, there was a time when Palm's Trio Pro was a Windows Mobile device, basically built by HTC. So they were just a middleman. They didn't make the OS, and they didn't even make the device.
Yeah, Palm's dominated the PDA market for forever, and Windows Mobile just came out of nowhere and just, you know, like, hey, we can build a better product. And Palm was rested on the laurels of their original operating system for far too long.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, and now we have another lumbering giant, but there's a big difference here. Windows Mobile is funded by Microsoft, which has much deeper pockets than Palm.
How about just no pocket, blank check?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it seems one of our U streamers here. Oh, you were too busy playing Left 4 Dead 2, huh? Oh, don't I know, right? Those smokers, man, they're just awesome. You know, they come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's all right. It's a pretty simple concept. You throw enough money at something and you can eventually fix a problem. Look at the way our government's going. It's working out great.
I'll be honest. This is not the first time Windows Mobile has killed something using money. Netscape was killed using basically Internet Explorer. Microsoft sees a market, takes it, even if it's already occupied, and just blows away everybody with a blank check system, making all the modifications, advancing on technology. Now, Palm at the day, look at it this way. Palm had lower quality bit graphics, older software, not as much stuff, and the devices were just not as good. I mean, they had 320 megahertz Texas Instrument devices. Windows Mobile said the Intel X-Scale, 624 megahertz, 64 megabytes of RAM, 16 million colors, real nice display, touch-resistive screens, larger screens, better quality, phones, and more. And now iPhone says capacitive. Touch the finger at the same time. It's Apple. It's just the war goes on.
Yeah, pretty much. It's the thing is Microsoft does have the pockets to retake the market. They just have to make the conscious effort and realize, oh, we can't pull the Apple move right now because we have to get into the domination again if we want to just do incremental upgrades. We need a whole new concept, a whole new epiphany of mobile phones. And I am really hoping 7 does that because iPhone, I don't really think is the threat. I think Android is the real threat right now in less than half the time the iPhone's been around. Android phones have been snapping up market share like crazy. I've seen many predictions that by the end of next year or the year after, it will be the top smartphone, except for maybe Symbian, if you count worldwide.
Well, Symbian is dying, because right now Symbian OS is being replaced by Maymo by Nokia, which is the major carrier of Symbian. Now, for those in the chat who are wondering, the Intel Processor X-Scale, that was basically a PDA processor chip used for Windows Mobile 5 and Windows Mobile 2003-era devices. It was fast. 624 megahertz. It was faster than the current Qualcomm chips inside the Touch Pro and Touch Pro 2, which is 528 megahertz. Problem is, the faster you get, the more battery you hog. And back then, battery maintenance wasn't as good as it is now. So basically, in the 4 or 5 years it's been since the X-Scale, battery's improved, the processor just uses too much battery, and even worse, we just skipped it. We're up to the Dragon at 1 GHz. The Axum. I used to own a Dell Axum X51V. I loved it. Ran the X-Scale. Had great graphics. Only 64 megabytes of RAM. Those were the days. Dell made excellent phones. And now they're making Android. They're gone. They left us. Windows, yeah. What are you doing? You lost Dell, and you're going to lose. That's one thing I want to know. Dell and HP were the only ones really using the X-Scale. Other companies used it in between, but then they moved on to Qualcomm, which took over basically the whole deal with basically just took over the whole... Qualcomm just took over the 3G world with their chips now. A lot of their companies use the Qualcomm chips now. X-Scale was just not as popular, and Intel just went back to the PC market. It was basically just to promote Windows. It's interesting. You know, everything happens for a reason. So basically, what we have here is an interesting situation for Windows at a sense. You have the Zune HD using NVIDIA's Tegra chips, using a brand new Windows CE 6, or using a very advanced version of Windows CE 5. Windows Mobile 6.5 is a very similar design. The phone and the device are very similar. Can we see a convergence within the next few months to years?
Actually, CE 6 has been around since Windows Mobile 6 has come out. Just for some unknown reason, Microsoft decided to stick with CE5 for most of the PDAs and things like that. There's actually even No2Chem did some blogging on that, and he got Windows CE6 to load on the old Mogul. That kind of tells you how long it's actually been around, and it's a much better base for operating systems. But Microsoft just didn't think they needed it.
I don't think it's that. It's situational. Don't forget, this is another reason why I don't think the Windows Mobile device will ever die. It's not just Windows Mobile, it's the Zune. It's your PDA navigators. If you take a TomTom and flip it over, it's going to say Windows Mobile CE5. This is why TomTom has applications for Windows Mobile. Their devices are identical. It's not just they're similar, they are identical. CE5 is a framework operating system. It used to be where CE was almost like a clone of Windows, where it had a start menu, it had a screen. The Jornadas, if you look at the old Hewlett-Packard Jornadas, like 620 I think they are, they actually have the screen with the start menu. It looks just like Windows 95, but it's CE. Windows Mobile is built off of CE.
Yes, and CE still actually exists, although it's not really in production, because I can try to search for the old the post, but No2Chem actually got CE6 loaded on the Mogul, and it had the old school Windows 95 look, and I believe it actually CE6 was fairly compatible with a lot of 95, 98 kind of applications.
You know, I don't think it's that issue. I think it's, first of all, I think CE is based on Windows 2000, not Windows 95. It's just the way it looks. It looks more like a XP era, 2000 era look. But CE 5 and 6, it kind of follows the policy of don't fix what's not broken. Why would you want to take all this effort to possibly revamp the operating system? Until now, because now there's iPhone and Android, but before then there was no competition. They sat up on their tower and basically sat there and enjoyed it. To the guests who are wondering, no, CE does not work basically by Windows Mobile versions. It kind of does. There's actually two timelines if you actually dig it up on Wikipedia. There's the Windows Mobile timeline, the Windows CE timeline. CE5 has been used since Windows Mobile 5, basically. CE6 is now being used for the Zune HD and soon to be Windows Mobile 7. For CE in general, it's not really like, according to some guests are assuming, like XP embedded. It actually has very different setups. It has very different driver compatibilities. XP Embedded exists. It's actually a micro form of the XP operating system designed for very small devices and actually, like, basically computer systems that don't need all the horsepower. Basically, basic computers run Windows XP Embedded. It's called, like, Windows Embedded or something like that. It's a very interesting... It's a whole different story. It's certainly not mobile. So, basically...
I would agree with you, but I do know for a fact that CE was fairly desktop compatible, like much more so than we see right now. And while it's not necessarily needed or the best fit, they've had options to move forward and chose not to for whatever reason. And that may have been a good thing, may have been a bad thing, but I think it more kind of shows to the point that Microsoft was so just confident that nobody would be able to take their market share. But they were just saying, oh, you know, we don't need to actually improve anything. Nobody can take us on. We're Microsoft. And now the pot shot has happened, and now they realize, oh, maybe we need to step up our rap game.
True. I mean, Big D, are you finally back?
Yes, sir.
Welcome back. We were discussing your topic, Windows Mobile. Live and let live, live and let die.
I just found something very interesting.
Go right ahead.
I guess it's on Windows Mobile 7 since June of 2008 in Dublin, Ireland. I found it in a PDF.
I'm sorry, repeat that one more time.
Windows Mobile 7 has been worked on as far back, has been tested since June 2008 in Dublin, Ireland.
Oh, the Irish.
Sounds
quite
like
the fellows.
Go ahead, Big D.
No, I just found the PDF. I'm reading it right now. I just thought I'd toss that tidbit out there.
You know, Windows Mobile, I have a lot of faith in. This is why I suggest people do not buy two-year contracts on their phones if they're buying new phones this holiday season. Buy a one-year contract. You will not regret it. Because next year, Windows Mobile 7's coming out, all the phones are going to be obsolete. I can guarantee you without a shadow of doubt, and I know Big D will support me on this, your new your phones you buy today will not support Windows Mobile 7. Because it's completely different.
Nope. Yeah, it has to have at least a Snapdragon.
It's got to have like 256 megabyte of RAM. It's got to have a Snapdragon. It's got to have a capacitive screen. It's got to have WVGA minimum, at the most WXGA, which, by the way, is 800 by 600, which is basically your original computer screen resolution, which is fantastic.
No, 640 by 480 is the original.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, you know what I mean. Like, like if you default your device, your computer right now, it'll go to 800 by 600.
Yeah, now it will, but back in the day, Windows 3.1, 5, it was 640 by 480.
You know, at this rate, I'm going to be banning Skype Mobile because it's making so much backdraft noise. We didn't have this issue with Morty T when he went on Skype Mobile one time. I have no idea. Ustreamer 640024, an Android user, two heroes by Sprint. How are they? I want to do some, like, chat, basically. I want to hear what the chat people think about their operating systems and such. Because we... Slow. Interesting, because I've heard people last year, you know, last week we discussed it, you know, basically, interesting, because I've been used to this whole pro-Android support, and who knows?
Well, I think no matter how fast a device you actually have, depending on what applications you're running, how you're running it, if you try to load too much at once... you know, even the most top-of-the-line device you have is going to run like a dog if you run too much on it. And I think a lot of people don't really realize that, or they're running just one single app that's coded improperly. These devices are getting faster and faster, but they're not like a computer where they can compensate for somebody doing bad code. Go ahead.
I disagree and agree with that statement. In reality, don't forget, this really grinds my gears. You can call me an Apple hater, you can call me an iPod hater, you can call me an iPhone hater, but I don't hate I don't hate Apple in the sense where they're awful, evil empire, but I hate the fact that they think they're so much better than Windows Mobile, when in this situation, I have to note, Windows Mobile is a multitasking operating system, as is the Android. WebOS and iPhone apps... they're not multitasking software. You run one app at a time. You don't multitask. On my phone, I can basically, if I ever need to do something, run 3 apps at the same time, 10 apps at the same time, do all this stuff on the iPhone, one app at a time. That's why their phone doesn't crash. You got their 400, 500 megahertz dedicated to one application at a time. Windows Mobile has to distribute it so widely. It's basically the whole issue why Macs it's back to the computer issue. How Macs are more stable than PCs because you don't have all these drivers, you don't have all these devices, you don't have these differences in screen resolution, differences in coding issues, multitasking. It's a whole long list of all these issues, and it's the reason behind why some things just are the way they are.
Yeah, it's the double-edged sword. The more options you have, the more chances you have at problems. But then again, it kind of boils down to, do you want somebody telling you what box you can play in, or do you want somebody saying, oh, you know, here's where you are. If you want to add on to all this stuff, you can do more things, and you can actually sometimes completely overhaul the capabilities of the device. Like, I had a Windows 3.1 machine that actually ended up running up to Windows 98. There's no way you'd have been able to do that many generational leaps with a Mac. See, it's just not happening.
Really? 98? That's awesome. You streamer guest 64024. The graphics are better. I think you're wrong, and I'll tell you why. Go to MindPole or Google MindPole Games, or specifically the name of the game, Tame 10 Games, 10 Games for Betting. MindPole uses a new engine, I believe it's called the Galera, the Galaga, some sort of name written there into that. The company, I keep in touch with them. They're a fantastic company. They take that iPhone-style graphics, that cartoonish, beautiful graphics array, very perfect, very streamlined, and they put it on the Touch Pro, too. Touch Pro, WVGA devices. In fact, I'll start it up right now. I wish I could show you, because it basically looks exactly like a device program application you'd see on iPhone. They actually only have two programs out right now, I believe, that use this current engine. One of them is called 10 Games for Betting. The other one is called Buggy Exterminator. Both of them use this new graphic style system that is beautiful. It'll make your eyes just boggle at how your Touch Pro 2 is doing this. You don't have the lag. In fact, I'll be honest, it reminds me of my Nintendo DS. That's how the engine works. It's a very good 2D engine. It's an even better 3D engine. Anyway,
kind of coming back a little bit to the death of Windows Mobile. I posted it in our Skype chat. But I think the key to Windows Mobile's survival is just that it's been so open that even when Microsoft has made blunders, or HTC or Qualcomm with drivers or things like that, there's been such a huge community, or not huge, I guess such a dedicated community would be the right way to put that, because like you'll have some of the super geniuses like No2Chem putting Windows CE 6 on the Mogul, and he's talking about putting CE 6 or the CE 7, I think it's a beta that he has, on the Touch Pro 2, and he's been very quiet for over a month now, so I think he is very hard at work, and we're going to see something amazing come out of our Touch Pro 2s in the next couple months.
But I'm afraid. I express fear over this because Android is the one Achilles heel to the Windows Mobile. Open source.
Yeah, but the phones are not as open as you'd think. There are still certain realms that are kind of hard to get at. And if they discover that you have gotten to those areas of the phone, you suddenly can't access the marketplace.
Yes, but here's the problem I have to note. Regarding, in general, Windows Mobile and the Android's a new device. It's been around about a year now. It has a small base compared to the years and years and years Windows Mobile had to develop applications. Combine that with the fact that there's been so little change among Windows Mobile in the last three or four versions that applications in the original 2002 version still work. You can run them. They're fine. Here's the problem. Here's the real issue I see coming. When Windows Mobile 7 comes along, it's probably going to be using the XNA engine system, which is what Zune HD has been using for some time now, to get better game quality and better graphics. Problem is, that's going to wipe out your entire base of developers. People are going to have to build from scratch. Now they can choose Microsoft's SDK or the Android, which is open source.
I agree with that, except for one point. Adobe is the white knight for Microsoft here, actually. With their push for Flash 10.1 on mobile devices and things like that, suddenly the device dependency apps become less important because developers can make things in Flash now, and now all of a sudden all devices can use it equally, and now it'll be kind of the operating system to be able to run on its own to shine over the other ones, not just which one has the coolest apps. Because just think about how many things out there that you're paying money for to play on your phone that have a free equivalent online somewhere.
That's true.
And better.
That's true. I agree with that. I do also want to note, though, it's called the Galatea, or the Galatea, from MindPole Technology at mindpole.com/technology/GT. That's where you can find it. Nice thing to note, the two games they released using their engine, the source codes are out. So there is a lot of community community love, I guess the term would be. Because I learned about the Galatea, because they went on XDA developers and announced their new software and their engine. They're not quiet. You know, with iPhone, you got to go through the app system. You got to go through all this bureaucracy. You have to go take time. You know, there's companies who waited 6 months for bug fixes to be released. It's ridiculous. With Windows Mobile, just set up a website, like with HostGator, and then just go. I think we still don't have Big Diesel. He's been having issues all day with this Windows Skype, with the Skype Mobile. He's banned from using Skype Mobile. He has to use regular Skype from now on.
Yeah, I don't know. I've logged into Skype Mobile, but I couldn't figure out how to transfer the voice over seamlessly, so I opted against switching to that.
Yeah, it's not perfect, but it's software. So anything else to really discuss?
As far as Windows Mobile going away, no. Just to recap, there's too many very deep pockets behind it, and there's too much. I think, to be honest, the only thing the iPhone really has on Windows Mobile is its high amount of apps, because it's very easy to develop for that. But as soon as you even the field by allowing Flash applications to run on the phone, I see that gap narrowing very quickly, and Microsoft just has enough money to just pummel anything into the ground.
That is true. So, basically, I think that's anything else to notice. I mean, Opera Mobile 10 Beta 2 is out, along with Opera Mini 5 Beta 2, which supports my fact that they're still going for the Mini. Although, I think they have essentially killed it for the Windows Mobile device. Because, honestly, Opera Mobile 10 is the exact same thing.
Yeah, I actually prefer 9.7.
You know, I prefer 9.5 because of the zoom bar.
Well, I like 9.7 because it seems to be the most desktop-compatible browser out there. Now, the fact that Iris isn't getting updated, Dorothy really hasn't picked up the slack, IE6 seems to be crashing on a whole bunch of stuff now. So I think 9.7 is probably the best desktop-compatible browser out there. As far as mobile browsing, I think all of the browsers do very well at mobile-style browsing, and that's the niche that needs to be filled still, is to make it so that I can function as if I was on a computer but on my phone. It should be the resolution, the only thing holding me back.
True. I have to do note, though, that did someone just say in the chat, acid test score? Do you want to burn your phone? Or are you referring to a different type of acid? I hope we don't mean lethargic acid. This show is over then. You know, I need to cut the line then. In fact, I think we should probably get about wrapping it up, you know, because we've discussed a lot tonight. The show's been running a bit slower than usual. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have as many viewers as last week. I hope the show picks up again next week. Could be just a slow week. It's just after, you know, Thanksgiving. People are probably still falling asleep and all that jazz. So anyway, I just want to give a big thank you out to Cornelius 2, Mr. Big D here. And any last thoughts?
No, just keep plugging away at these phones and keep tuning in.
All right. Hope to see everyone next week. You listen to the PPC Geeks podcast. Have a great night. And I just want to mention one last time, if you're interested, you can always check out at ppcgeeks.com.